This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I want to talk to you a little bit about finding that one thing that you can help people with the most. Now, for full disclosure, the reason that I've recorded this podcast is because this is a discussion that I've been having with my wonderful wife, Mrs. E. Her name's Gabriella. And I did offer for her to come on the podcast, but she was a little bit reluctant with that idea. So I decided, hey, look, you know, there's an episode in here anyway. And it's a topic that may really resonate with some of you guys. So I wanted to basically relay the conversation. So Mrs. E is in a position right now that a lot of people find themselves in. She's currently on furlough because of the coronavirus pandemic that's taken grip of the world in the first half of 2020. And because of that, she's furloughed from work. So she's spent a lot of time with our children and she spent a lot of time away from work. And what she has been doing in the past few months or couple of years even has been helping me with my agency and running our content team. And she enjoys it. It's great. She's got the flexibility to do what she wants. She can work the hours she wants. We spend a lot of time together. You can make your mind up whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it works for us. But the reality is, this isn't what she really wants to do. It pays the bills, and as I say, it gives us a lot of flexibility. It gives her a lot of flexibility. But it's not her calling in life. It's not the thing. When she looks at the businesses that I run and sees that they're part of my passion, she doesn't feel like that. And I'm guessing that a lot of people are in that position right now, either because you work for somebody else and because of what's going on in the world, you've got the ability to maybe start thinking a bit sort of broader in terms of your horizons, or because you do work for yourself and because of what's happened in the world, things have changed a little bit and you have to diversify, or maybe the security that you thought was there wasn't, and it's been a bit of a struggle. So as we've been talking about this and what Mrs. E is going to do next, and we still don't have the answer to this. I can't get to the end of this podcast and give you a big ta-da moment. When I do, when we get there, I will get Gabs on the show and we will talk through it. I promise. Even if she's there kicking and screaming, she will come on the show. But we don't have the finished solution to this. But we have been through a process of mapping out the steps by which we need to go through in order to establish something for her. I'm saying we because our marriage works a lot like a partnership, and you know, she wanted me to be involved in that discussion. But the reality of it is, it needs to be the thing that she feels passionate about. So where we started with all of this is you need to start with a blank sheet of paper. So if you're starting to think about these things, I do not want you to think about three things. Firstly, I do not want you to think about what it is that you are going to sell, what the actual product is. The second thing is, I don't want you to think about how much you're going to charge for it. And the third thing is, I don't want you to think about how much you want to earn from it. So what we need to do is take the pressure off of the confines of the product or service itself, and we need to take the pressure off of money, because only when we remove those two pressures can we actually start to sort of operate in the realm of what your passions are, what your skill set is, all of that kind of stuff. We do need to answer those questions a bit further down the line. I'm not saying we're going to forget them forever, but in order to start this process, you need to release yourselves from those three things. So when you've managed to do that, and I do realize that is far easier said than done, and you know, we are in a privileged position that we have multiple streams of regular income. So from our family situation, we don't need to develop something that we are instantly reliant on financially. And you may not be in that place, in which case you can still go through this process and try to do it. You may need to do it a little bit more expedited than we have, but But in order to make something really successful, you need to first of all lift those boundaries. So what I want you to do is start by asking these questions instead. Firstly, what is it that I can do that will help other people? Anything. Make a list. And that could be, you know, anything that is something very generic that anybody could do, but maybe try and just focus that list down a little bit more to the things that are specific that you can do. Why can you do them? Because you're you and not because it's just something that's, you know, nice for, you know, for people. Secondly, how will it help them? Now, a business consultant that I used to work with in the past, he always said that people buy for one of two reasons. Either to gain something, to achieve something, or to avoid loss or pain, essentially. So how are these things that you have now listed out? Maybe you need to start filtering the list. How many of those either help people achieve or gain something or avoid something? Some of the items on the list may do both, depending in the context that they're being used on or being used in. So, you know, that's absolutely fine. Some items on the list might not actually help them achieve anything or move away from any kind of loss. So maybe they're the ones that need to get scratched at this point. So now you're starting to bring your list down a little bit. The next question to ask yourself with every item that's left on your list is, will I be happy doing this for the rest of my life? Now, I'm not actually suggesting that you will be, you know, the final idea that you get, you will be doing for the rest of your life. But certainly for the midterm to long-term future of this, you are going to have to be living and breathing it every day. To begin with, you're probably going to be a company of one or a business of one person yourself. So you're going to be responsible not only for the management and the sales, but also the delivery. You are then going to, you know, if this idea takes off and you do decide to expand and have a team, maybe that's a virtual team or you know, staff in real life, then you're going to need to train them. You're going to need to pass that passion on. You're going to need to have those quality standards. So, you know, if you're not happy about, I don't know, dealing with fish stocks from the North Sea and you're not prepared to do that every day, then that's probably not a great business idea for you to go in. So again, we can filter that list down further by asking, really asking, is this something that I would be happy doing, selling, promoting, managing, earning money from, doing all of the managerial stuff, the mundane stuff that has to be done, doing the accounts. It all revolves around this idea. So would I be happy doing that every day for the rest of my life? And if the answer is no, it's off the list. It's gone. Then ask yourself, who are the people that need this problem solving the most? So all of a sudden, we're now starting to move from the idea, or we've started with the idea, but we're now trying to apply it into sort of some form of real world context. So who are these people? Where are they? How can I connect with them? Who is it a viable market, I suppose, is the actual real question that we're asking here. But that might be might sound like sort of more official terminology for it, but are there enough people around the world, around the globe, that need this? And is anybody else doing the same thing? And are they being successful or are they crashing and burning? And if they crashed and burned, why did they crash and burn? If they're being successful, what is it that's making them successful? Entering a market where there's some competition isn't always a bad thing because it proves that the market is there and it's active. Entering a market where there's no competition either means that you've struck a gem of an idea and you're a trailblazer for it, or it means that the market has been tried and failed before and it's not really existent, I suppose. It could mean that anybody that's tried has got it wrong, but you maybe need to look at the odds a little bit more closely when it comes to that. And then finally ask, so how can I introduce myself to them to ratify this idea? So at that point, I've not talked about how much I want to earn. I've not talked about how much I'm going to charge for it. I'm not actually really focused down on what the service is, other than it's in a a sort of thematic ballpark at the minute. And but what I've done is I've put together an idea in my head of an area of business that I would be happy to work in for the rest of my life, who this area of business could help and where they are and how I could connect with them. So then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and start connecting with them. And I'm going to connect with them online or in real life or in groups. I don't know when you're listening to this episode. At the minute, we're coming out of lockdown here in the UK from the coronavirus, so it would probably be online. But, you know, that doesn't have to be the case. It could be a real life group of people. And what I'm going to do is not mention my idea at all. What I'm going to do is engage with people and offer genuine help and start to build relationships and forge friendships and maybe get referred into other groups where people are. I'm going to start learning the lingo that they talk in and you know, be one of the first people to offer advice to people's problems. I might try and put some semi-related conversation starters in the group so that I'm starting to become an active member or a proactive member of this circle of people, so that when people see my name, they don't think Pete who or Gabs who. They think, oh yeah, that's Pete or that's Gabs and that's Joe or that's Tom, and they know what they're talking about. And then, and I can't stress this enough, when the time is right, and you've got to take a line reading on that, because in some groups online, the time might be right in a week to 10 days. In other groups, it might take you 3 or 4 months. In other groups, it may take you a year, particularly if it's an in-person group, maybe where you're meeting once a month face to face. So I cannot possibly tell you when the time will be right. But when it is right and you want to then pitch your idea, you don't just go and jump in with your two big size 10s like I have and just announce it to the world. Instead, you connect with the group admin and or the group leader, and you have a conversation with them about, look, I've been in your group for XYZ length of time. I've been adding value here, there and everywhere. I've got this idea and I just want to get some feedback on it. It'd be really great if it had your blessing. And do you mind posting? Do you mind me posting it, or do you want to post it? Great. So you pitch it to the admin. And I know from mixing in groups with other admins of groups on Facebook in particular, you know, one of the things that's a bit of a bone of contention is when somebody rocks up in your group and then 2 days later decides to put a pitch in for their business and you know nothing about it. And I tell you what, as the admin, when that happens in my groups, unless there's a very good reason for it to be there, it is removed very quickly. And a message is sent explaining why, and explaining what I would expect in order for that to happen. I've not got a problem with the post per se, but it needs, you know, we build our groups, we build our tribes because of, through an investment. And I'm going to talk about investment in a minute. And by, you know, somebody just diving in and just using our group as their group, it kind of negates a lot of the love and the care and attention and the effort that's gone in. So, you know, we want to deal with genuine people. We don't want to deal with sort of fly-by-nights. And that's the same across the board. So take that as your warning. So when the time is right and you've pitched the idea to the admin, you can then start to get some feedback on your actual service. The point really is, with everything I've just said, is you need to prove your worth before you earn your right to sell, I suppose, is one way of looking at it. So you start to get this feedback. And what I want you to do with that feedback is I then want you to piece that feedback so that it shapes what could be your first minimum viable product, your MVP. So even if people are saying that it's a rubbish idea, you've got to take that with a bit of a pinch of salt, because one person's rubbish idea is another person's gem. So you need to take it all with a bit of a pinch of salt, but help it shape your first minimum viable product. An MVP doesn't have to be polished, but it does need to work. It does need to deliver what it says on the tin. And then you're able to offer that MVP at a very, very early entry price point. because really the only real test of whether an idea has legs or not is if people are going to spend money on it. So that MVP needs to work, as I said. It needs to have an attraction to it. It needs to clearly state what the end outcome is going to be. And this is the point when you're developing this MVP that you're now nailing your mask to the post and saying, right, my service is going to be this. So all of a sudden, we have now, that first question that I said I didn't want you to think about, we've done all of this traveling before we've actually gone and addressed that and said, this is what it is going to be. This is what my product's going to be. This is what my service is going to be. And what I want to do is to test the water. I'm going to put together a sales page. I've got the product together, or I've got the bones of the product together, so I know I can deliver it. If I have to, there may be a slight delay, but that's going to be reflected in the price. It's going to be reflected on the sales page, so everybody's clear. And do people put their hand in their pocket and actually give me money? If they do, brilliant. That gives you a firm confirmation that this is a good idea. Also gives you a problem that you now need to go and deliver that MVP, but that's absolutely fine. That's a good problem to have. And through that MVP, you then get the ability to get feedback, to test things, to refine things, etc., etc., as time goes by. If people don't put their hand in their pocket and give you some money for this, then you need to really ask one of two questions. Firstly, is it the right group of people? And secondly, if it is the right group of people, is it maybe not a viable idea? And if it's not a viable idea, what stage does it become not viable? Now, that might mean that you end up backing up the track and scrapping the whole thing and going back to one of your other ideas on your list. Or it may mean that you actually just back up a little bit and find that there's a crossroad somewhere, and actually you just go down a little route, a little version of a route, and modify it, and then it becomes more viable. The real crux to all of this is that developing any business idea is really an investment. And it's an investment in you, it's an investment in others, and it's an investment in all of your futures wrapped up together. So you can't expect returns on that kind of investment overnight. But by taking action, by actually saying to myself, I want to do something else, I want to do something that's for me, and I want to do something that's going to help other people, and taking action on that really puts you in the top 20% of people. Because the other 80% are the armchair warriors that want to sit there and tell people how bad the world is and how much better they could do it, but then don't do anything about it. So just by going through this process, you put yourself in that top 20%. And finally, don't be afraid of failure. As Sean Paul Thomas says in his book, The Universe Doesn't Do Second Chances, it's better to have tried and have failed than never to have tried at all. So make sure that you're not scared of it going wrong, you've not put all of your eggs in one basket, but that you've thought it through in a logical manner, as I've explained above. If your process doesn't work exactly as mine, that's absolutely fine. I mean, there's no problem with that. But make sure you've gone through it logically and have these sort of gates in place, these points that you can go back to, and that you can, because if something doesn't quite work out the way that you want it to, then you can always revisit, go back to that point. You've got that reset point. And you may have a number of those throughout the process, so that if, as I say, it doesn't work out, you don't have to go right back to the drawing board. You can just go back two or three steps and then reassess from there. So I hope this episode's been really valuable. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/104. And I would be really, really interested to have discussion with you about what your ideas are. What's the thing that you can do to help other people the most? And pop into our Facebook group, either search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast, or simply visit peteeverett.com/group, and it will forward you straight over. And let's have that discussion. Let's support each other with their ideas, and figure out these solutions and how you can help your audience and start to build your tribe. I will see you next week.